and welcome to Loopholes, episode 40, your weekly discussion podcast about all things esoteric and esoterotic. I'm Kate Cheryl, hello.
I'm Ian Bellsworth, hello.
And this is very exciting. It's our final episode.
Yeah, season finale.
Season finale.
Now, we should explain that, really, to particularly to the plebs in the real world.
Yes.
Whilst there'll be 40 episodes still there for your listening enjoyment as a season one, we are continuing on Patreon, but we're not continuing with normal Loopholes episodes for a bit.
Absolutely. We're doing a amazing multimedia special.
How's it multimedia?
As long as that media is audio.
Right, I see.
It involves me ripping different media, so that's multimedia.
Well, what's happened behind the scenes is Kate has decided she wants to learn how to edit. Now, please don't think that means I get some time off, because I've got to teach Kate how to edit. But what we never mentioned in the public episodes, which we really should have done, was that we have done some episodes of Loopholes Extra, and Loopholes Extra has been essentially us doing a commentary on Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World, which was a series about esoteric stuff from the 80s.
Yes.
And we did, I think, 4, maybe 5 episodes of that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
A clutch.
And we're going to resume those.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to resume those. So there is content, Loopholes content still for Patreon, but there isn't new Loopholes content publicly for a bit of time.
Yes. So we've got a little bit of a breather and Kate gets to learn how to edit properly.
Oh, I mean, we've not got a breather. We've still got to make Loopholes every week.
We don't, but it's more of a change. Should we say?
Yeah. So if you want to hear those, if you're a public pleb person, you want to hear those, they're available on Patreon, on my own Patreon, patreon.com/Ian Bolesworth, or on
patreon.com/burialsandbeyond.
To put it into perspective, if you wanted to go on both, which I would advise you to do, that's £2.
Yeah.
So that's £2 a month. And don't think, I'm not paying £2 just for some podcasts. It's a lot more than that.
Mm.
We both ram our Patreons full every month. There's a lot of content, lots of different things, of which Loopholes is one of them. So it's up to you. No pressure at all from this end.
Yeah.
But that's what our plan is going forward. And we'll be back with season 2 of Loopholes publicly once we've started season 2 on Patreon and got a few weeks ahead. So it's a bit of a while off, maybe a couple of months, maybe a bit more. But that's where we're at. So shall we go over the comments from last week?
Yes.
Dr. Cheryl?
Let's do. Do you want to go first?
Well, really, I sort of feel that what I want to draw attention to at the moment is we're recording on Zoom, which I wish we weren't.
Yeah, me
for
too.
The season finale. I wish we were doing it in person, but we're doing it on Zoom. And I wanted you to explain yourself, really, because I think you might have just forgotten yourself on the Zoom recording. And a gentleman wouldn't have drawn attention to this, but I'm not a gentleman and I don't claim to be, so I'm going to draw attention to it now. The listener, thank heavens, couldn't see what you just did. But you grabbed your what's the political correct way of saying it? How would you wish that to be described?
I would wish it not to be described, really.
But if you were to give a word, what word would you use?
Person.
Well, it's not your person,
it is it?
It's a specific
person.
Part of your person.
Yes.
It's your, you have two of them just below your chin and just above your tummy.
Yeah.
And you grabbed them quite absentmindedly.
Yeah.
And would that be jiggle? Did you jiggle them? I think you jiggled them.
I'm very. It's, we've had a bit of a heat wave, and I'm a little bit sweaty, so I'm just trying to air myself out a bit.
Well, I would understand that. Do you know what? I would understand that if it was happening simultaneously, but you alternated, so you did the left one first, then the right one, and the left one went down, and then the right. That's jiggling. That I'm sure that's jiggling, and I don't really feel like this is a particularly professional working relationship.
Excuse me. First of all,
yeah.
Let the woman speak. Thank you. It is, I would say, consecutive movement, for starters, and secondly, was it not incredibly alluring?
Well, I'm doing the podcast at the moment, and
right,
again,
okay.
This is another time where I don't know if you're flirting with me. I don't know if that's what's going on. But my suspicion, having just observed what you were doing, is you didn't even know you were doing it. I think that was completely absent-minded, and I will say for the record that I have at no point in any of these recordings stood myself up and jiggled my junk around.
No, but, you know, there's always time in season 2, isn't there?
Yeah, I've got, what I'm saying is, in a roundabout way, I've now got that in stock. I'm allowed. Right, so comments from last week. Richard Shaw Wright says, #SaveLoopholes, #TheRichAndJudy of the esoterotic. You know that I can remove you from my Patreon, Richard. You know that I can block you from this end.
That's a nice thing.
Richard says, she's doing it again. Richard said, watch, you are.
I'm sorry, I'm hot.
Richard also said, watching some ghost investigation thing by accident the other day, not the Dr. Kate series, apologies.
Rude.
And these voice box things, they're nonsense, aren't they?
Well, dear Richard.
Go on. Yeah, you answer that. You answer that. Let's hear how you meld together your real opinion and your professional obligation.
Right. Well, Richard, I presume when you say, did you say ghost box? Ghost voice box.
He said these voice box things, oh, they're nonsense, things. Aren't they?
Well, yes. I don't. He could really be referring to one really of two things that were designed to capture EVPs, right, or electronic voice phenomena. So, mm-hmm, broadly speaking, on these shows, they're either a spirit box or radio hack, like an SB7 sort of thing that just cycles through radio waves and goes.
She's currently trying to blind you with science, Richard.
And then no, I'm not. I'm explaining what
she's
they are.
She's trying to
for
blind
listeners.
You with science, and she's trying to put me off by jiggling a knockers about.
Yes, and hopefully it will work. So they're the ones that you see in these ghost shows where you'll hear murdered, and then you'll go, oh my god, it was a class A EVP, and that's when you build on your ghost investigation and so on and so forth. Or you can get word banks like ovuluses and apps.
One thing at a time. Yeah. You will never hear murders. You will hear is what you'll hear.
But no.
That's what you'll hear. And then it's down to the auditory pareidolia of whatever idiot is in that room at the time to go, oh, was that murder? That sounded like murder. Murder. Can you listen? Murder.
There are different. Well, you know, some people have.
That was my name.
Channeled interesting EVPs through spirit boxes that then are classified within a system of like class A, class B, and so forth.
Yes, of course.
So, you know, it's all like Crofts, everything's got stages. It can be like a word bank, like an ovulus, or loads of these phone apps you see nowadays that are pre programmed with a set amount of words. That either, depending on what you believe, spew them out at random and then you, through suggestibility, you make them fit the circumstance of the investigation.
It's a word bank though, isn't it? It's unlike all banks. A bank doesn't hold every single last bit of money in the world in a bank.
No, but it can hold your interest.
Holds some words that would be suitable, which doesn't allow for whatever is speaking through said word bank to have a full vocabulary, does it?
No, it's they generally have
these tech savvy ghosts.
They have a lot. They have a lot of words. They're thousands of words, but I must say that most of them are things like they wouldn't have something like walk or go, but they'd have hanging and and murder, once more, those sort of things.
But again, this is all very interesting, but Richard's question was, they're nonsense, aren't they? Well, you just said yes or no.
It depends entirely on belief. You've got auditory pareidolia, you've got suggestibility, you've got so many things at play.
Well, I'll say, Richard, yes. And Kate is going to say...
Ooh.
You can't keep doing this. Genuinely, mate.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry, I'll stop.
Chris Brands, as Jeff was from India, I do think Kate could have had a proper go at the accent.
That is a hard no.
That she didn't, yeah. She'll answer that one definitively. Tango of the Robes, the posy girl of Grimsby buttered my whippet. It's a shame to hear that Loopholes episode 40 will be the grand finale. Only of the season, series. It's only of the series that it's the...
Oh,
you
were a bit... Ooh.
I was vague, wasn't I? But because I know how these things happen, you know, sometimes if you have a break, that break turns into a long time before you know it. You've not done it again and that's the end. However, this is Tango. I must admit I am beside myself with excitement about finally being permitted to partake of the forbidden soup as the final episode conclusion ceremony begins. I look forward to being on the other side and causing havoc at Kate's spooky sessions by only typing out conclusion on my side of the Ouija board. All the dinner ladies, TM, will be perplexed and fixated on trying to puzzle out what conclusion means and why that's the only word coming through. Kate won't be able to explain it for them because, of course, Kate can't say orgasm.
No, I can't.
Sure, isn't it?
I can't.
You can't say it, can you? Is Tango like talking about their own death?
I hope here? Not. I hope Tango's more in the realm of like the Blanche Cooper thing of communicating with the spirit of the living.
Yeah,
that would be far more of an interesting scientific experiment of a
ESP. Tango, stay with us, mate.
Yeah.
Stay with us. You are treasured over here, mate. Nick Johnson, the story of Jeff the Mongoose is quite possibly the most ridiculous of all the esoteric tales. The fact that someone can claim something as absurd as this and have it believed by other people beggars belief. A fantastic show as always, and I look forward to next week's grand show ending episode. Anyway, I must stop writing as a mole named Gonathan has just popped out of my wall, threw a stone at me and told me I've left the oven on.
See, every house needs one. Yeah, everyone needs a home muslid.
Craig, Dr. Orange Harrison, Cult Cat Fusser. Lovely episode as always. Many thanks both. Many thanks to you, Craig, for joining us. John Robinson, great work as usual. I do hope this isn't the end of loopholes. There's always more mysteries to bicker over. Surely, instead of playing Nandor, Jeff should be voiced by Simon Pegg. After all, one is a shifty ferret-like creature, addicted to celebrity, disrespectful to his hosts, and most likely a fraud. And the other, .. I don't want to start.
Oh no, let's not have a Simon Pegg
I don't
Pegg
want to start a victimising yeah. Simon Pegg no. I must emphasise again, it was one evening, I might have took it wrong. It just upset me on that evening, and ever since then I've been a bit sneery about that person. I wouldn't necessarily agree with all the things you've said there in your conclusions, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily disagree. Lordy, Lard, Lady, Morgan, Oxburgh, Scullion III. Really looking forward to the Ian-led episode, especially concerning the Haunted Mansion. For fairness reasons, I hope Dr. K puts her argumentative hat on.
Oh, yeah. Gonna tear you apart, boy.
Well, I don't think you will. Really, no. I don't think that'll even be your intention with it. I think you might be disappointed by this.
Well, that's a great way to lead into an episode, isn't it?
Well, I'm not discussing the Haunted Mansion overall as a thing in great detail. I'm not talking about the history of it. I know all that stuff, but I'm not talking about the history of it and all that. There's more specifics to it than that.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it goes anyway. Lord Lord Lady continues, I'm a bit of a coward when it comes to horror, but I love the theming of ghosts and ghouls and pumpkin men. So spooky without scary is something I've always looked for. And the Haunted Mansion is the most polished version of it. See also Scooby-Doo and Gravity Falls. Might be putting the headless horse before the cart here, but I didn't realise that each non-American park's Haunted Mansion has its own lore and story. I particularly love the Phantom Manor in Disney Paris. It being tied into the greater story of Big Thunder Mountain and the surrounding area fleshes it out in a way that adds stakes to the spirits you interact with. Happy 40th, that's to you, Kate. Looking forward to the second episode, 39 after this, then 38, and so on until we get to episode 0. You're still my favy in long teeth or not. There's a lovely
comment. Nice.
Thank you very much indeed. Again, I could talk to you all day about the lores of the mansions and the different storylines and the presumed storylines and what's canon and what's not canon, what fans think is real and all that. But that's not loopholes. There's no loopholes in that. You'll see anyway when I talk about it. Dan Norton, can't wait for the Haunted Mansion episode next week. That's this week. Learned so much about it from this Patreon already. That's my Patreon. So,
yeah.
Again, I think this has now been built up too much.
Yeah.
Michael Anderson, I've not met the Dolby Ghost, but I'm sure I've heard him in the cinema. Oh, come on.
Oh, that's good. That's very
come
good.
On. Well done, Michael. Andy Walker, every time one of you said Nandor Fodor, I kept thinking of the guy who built the apartment block in Ghostbusters canon. But that was Ivo Shandor. It was. It was indeed. Although I'm sure whenever there's a new Ghostbusters movie, Simon Pegg shall announce that it's his favourite thing ever, Ghostbusters, and he would love to work on Ghostbusters, and he was obsessed with Ghostbusters and has always loved it. It's always been his best one. See also Star Trek and Star Wars. Becky, thank you for covering Jeff the Talking Mongoose. Came across him in the Usborne Book of Ghosts when I was a kid. Was very frightened by his fingers poking through the ceiling. Now, of course, I can see the ridiculousness of it, but I've still got a soft spot for him. There we go. So Becky is...
Yeah.
I believe that might be Becky's first comment on loopholes, and Becky has used it to essentially flirt with a fictionalised mongoose.
I feel like I've done a disservice to my childhood not having that Usborne ghost book.
I've got a copy of it here, I think. You can have it.
You don't? You gave it to me.
Well, then you have got a copy of it.
Well,
then.
Yeah, but I didn't as a child. As a child, I had a paranormal encyclopedia that my granddad gave me, but that wasn't for children. That was literally like a dictionary.
It was the reprint I had of it, wasn't it? The one that was re-released.
Yes, yeah.
It didn't have that much of an effect on me when that was re-released, because I don't recall. I mean, I might have had it as a kid, but I don't recall it making any great impression on me. There were other books that made impressions on me. I had, like, a great Mysteries of the World book that I still have, which was published by St. Michael, or Marks and
Yes!
Spencer's.
Some of my best ghosty books were from St. Michael growing up.
Yeah, they did. They did quite a lot, like, at Christmas time and things, you know, because they were really good quality. I mean, far better quality than you probably get today from essentially stocking fillers. But, yeah, there was more stuff like that than the more mainstream things.
Yeah.
I don't mean I was a kooky indie kid. I mean, that was just what I was given.
No, yeah. Well, a lot of mine were point horror books as well, most of which were not given, but stolen by my sister from her secondary school at the time.
I know, statute of limitation, you'd be fine.
Oh, yeah, that school's long gone.
Siobhan Jenner, now known as Voiri. Hey, come on. Why are you trolling my name? I've been called all sorts in my nearly 47 years, such as Seaborn, Shithorn, by a very good friend, and had a manager spell it out in emails as C-O-Ban. That's the one I think is right. I think that's right.
C-O-Ban. Oh dear, C-O-Ban.
Yeah. I then listened to this podcast to find another one, Voiri. It will now be known as Voiri going forward. Why am I getting trolled when Jeff is a stupid name? I couldn't agree with you more. G-E-F, I couldn't agree with you more.
I'm sorry, if anything, he named himself, so he'll have to take it up with the mongoose.
But thank you for your comment. I'll say Siobhan, and then I will also say I'm never saying that again.
Yes, thank you, Siobhan.
It's Siobhan or Voiri moving forward until I forget. Annette Truby, Tonknado, dear Mr. Grumpy Ian Bolesworth, I apologise for trying to raise the profile of the podcast by voting for it in the British Podcast Awards. Please note, I shared my vote on social media and also posted and shared a review on the Facebook page. I do hope you'll be in a better mood for the final episode, although I'm sure you will, given it's all about your obsession. Yours sincerely, Annette, the one you seem determined to disagree with at every opportunity. Well, can I just say, first of all, I don't. Yeah. No, I don't.
I'm sorry, Annette, this is your life now. There's no way of getting out of this.
But no, thank you. And I apologised within the episode last week. I was self-aware of that myself.
Yeah, and it was a lovely thing. It was really nice to see people posting about it on social media and things like that. So I'm very, very appreciative of it from non-grumpy Kate.
In terms of am I in a better mood? Not necessarily. Oh. I mean, it was fine until spirit boxes started being brought up. Chris Carpenter, this is my last one. Loving this episode. Jeff the Talking Mongoose is one of my favourite modern folklore fairy tale stories. I've seen the trailer for the film and looking forward to it being the film that is comparable with Oppenheimer. Now I've become Jeff the Talker through walls. Okay, over to you for your comments.
Right, first one is from PJ, who has been a fantastic source of Manx folklore over the last however many months. So I knew that PJ would be coming in with some top-notch content, and they did not disappoint.
Okay.
So PJ says, I'll miss loopholes. I hope you'll come back. Soz for a long comment / essay. Probably will need to add an episode just to read it. My dad's side of the family were all from that western side of the Isle of Man. Some folklore is taken seriously on the island, but I got the impression that the Dorby spook, Jeff, seemed a bit of a joke locally. Voiri is the Manx Gaelic equivalent of Mary. I think it's pronounced Vori, as in rhymes with lorry. See, these good facts. Dolby is pronounced Dorby in the local dialect, and Dawlish Cashan, Irving's farmhouse, was known locally as Dorby Spook House.
Well, I mean, again, we were a bit pushed for time last week, but I know Kate called it Dolby, but it's actually pronounced Siobhan.
There is a story that mongoose. Whatever.
It's an amazing joke. Have you ever heard that joke? The mongoose joke?
No.
It's an amazing joke. So a man goes into a pet shop and says, I'd like to buy two mongooses, please. And then he thinks in his head, oh, that's not right. Okay, I'd like to buy two mongoose. And he goes, oh, that doesn't sound right either. And then he says, I'd like to buy two mongai. And he thinks, oh, that doesn't sound right either. And then he eventually says to the man at the pet shop, I'd like to buy a mongoose and give me another one as well.
Oh, I like that.
I can do jokes as long as somebody else writes them.
There's a story that mongoose, really were brought over to the island by a farmer in the early 20th century. The island doesn't have any foxes, so they were apparently brought over to control the rabbit population. By all accounts, I don't think they survived very long. Certainly by the time of the Irvings, I think they'll have long perished.
The mongoose or the rabbits?
The mongoose.
Mongai.
the seal pants. Part of the island has a large amount of Celtic mythology. A few miles away is a waterfall haunted by Taru Ushti, a ghostly water horse or bull, and there is the Modi Du, pronounced Morthadu, a spectral black dog that haunts Peel Castle. It's like the Irvings were cherry-picking information from many different sources to spin their yarn. The attention the Irvings got from the likes of Harry Price and Nandor Fodor was quite similar to the Enfield Poltergeist case. There you had Maurice Gross and Guy Lyon Playfair almost like a surrogate father or uncle, and the whole case drew public attention to a struggling and socially isolated family. Well, that's very helpful tourist board information from PJ there.
But it's completely right. There's a lot of cherry picking, if we want to look at it that way.
Yes.
From other things to either validate or use the same tactics within new stories. That happens a lot. In fact, that does actually come up in the Haunted Mansion chat that we've got on the way, that where things have been clearly picked from other ideas and put together to make a new thing.
Yes.
But there's certainly, I've spoken at length over the years about the whole thing with particularly Guy Lyon Playfair with the Enfield situation.
Yeah.
And I do have some quite serious accusations, really. You know, I do think that was an abusive situation, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. And I may be wrong, maybe completely wrong, but that was my reading of the situation. Yeah. Was there were two older men manipulating two very young girls.
Yeah.
And that was how I read it. But that's not the claim, incidentally, that's been made by the girls. That they haven't claimed that at all. No. So it might be quite pious of me to, you know, project that onto that situation. Yeah. I might be completely wrong, but that was certainly my first reading of it. And when I read Guy Lyon Playfair's book about it, that did nothing but compound that feeling for me.
Yeah, I think, you know, without coming down saying this was abusive, this was, you know, unhealthy, I think with a lot of...
Let's say manipulative.
Manipulative, yes.
Better than abusive. Abusive is probably too strong a word, in fairness, so I retract that. But let's say manipulative.
I think...
Cynically manipulative as well. Yes. Self-serving manipulation.
I think with a lot of similar cases, really, I was going to say throughout the 70s and 80s, but certainly kind of throughout... instances like this of purported paranormal phenomena that's then investigated by generally older men, or let's say broadly professionals.
Yeah.
I think in most of those cases, if you look at them objectively, you can see there's kind of been a failure of duty of care towards the subjects, whether they're children or not, because it's a unregulated field. Investigation, house calls, things like that, then you can fall into that very easily.
Yeah, but do you know what? Contrary to what I've just said, I can also say from the other side of that, in that sort of situation, when everyone's very giddy and when everyone's getting very carried away with the story, and whether they believe it or not is up for debate and I suspect shall be forever. But within that situation where there's a rolling story and something's happening and it's very exciting, it's outside the norm and all them sort of things are going on, I guess one of the first things that could go is duty of care. You're not even thinking about that because you're not being measured. You're excitable and carried away with the situation.
Mm.
So you don't think how it's going to look in 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years' time. You're in the here and now and you're not thinking about, oh, I must make sure they're all right, because you're also experiencing it yourself as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are two ways of looking at that.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be that kind of that suspension of norm. And with the suspension of the norm, you get the suspension of normal behaviours and morals and ethics and so forth. And that's when people get, you know, running away with themselves. But we'll save a lot of that for the Enfield special we keep taunting people with.
I've not taunted anyone with it.
We will get to it. We will. Hazel Quinlan says, to answer your questions at the end, I have not met the Dolby spook. I've not been to the Isle of Man recently and my name is not Voyrie. I hope that helps. Great episode as always.
Why have you just completely disregarded that PJ has told you it's pronounced Dolby?
I know, because I couldn't remember.
You've just completely disregarded
All
that.
All right, Dolby.
Oh yeah, thanks for your comment. I'll just ignore it. Ugh. Anyway. Dolby.
Dolby. Thank you very much for answering my questions, because no one ever does, as Ian highlighted in the last episode.
No, Hazel now has. So that's my second retraction of the episode. I retract that comment.
Yes.
Somebody has.
Thank you. Sophie Cleverly, novelist extraordinaire, says, I think a break would be well deserved, but Loopholes is my favourite podcast, so I hope it returns. I'm also a bit obsessed with the Haunted Mansion, and it's my favourite ride, so I'm very excited for the next episode. Favourite ride is Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, just to tie it back into small furry creatures. I think that Jeff the Mongoose is bonkers and a legendary prank. According to the Wikipedia page for the movie, Jeff is going to be voiced by Neil Gaiman, and now I think I'm definitely going to have to watch it. And Sarah Kennard then says, I agree, I'd hate to see Loopholes go. I look forward to it every week, and it makes my workday much brighter.
It's coming back for the public and also to the people that leave these comments. You've still got it every week anyway.
Yes.
Just in a different form for a bit, and then we'll restart with the new series, which you'll also get first. I've never been on the Ratatouille thing because it hadn't been finished being built when I was last there. And I've never seen Ratatouille.
No, me neither. Never been on it, never seen it.
Same.
God, we're deprived, aren't we? Should we just take out a massive loan and go on holiday?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it might have worked. I might watch Ratatouille one day. Do you know what's put me off?
I think I will.
The fact that I don't like Ratatouille. The dish. And that has completely informed my dislike of a film I have never seen about a rat.
I mean, I'm not entirely certain, but I don't think it's smell-o-vision.
Tango of the Robes, the posy girl of Grimsby Buttered My Whippet, said, I sacked off all of my social media a while back because, well, gestures vaguely towards the absolute tip of it.
Yeah.
Despair not, I've been preaching the virtues of loopholes to all who cross my path. I've started picking up those folks who stand in motorway services on slip roads with cardboard signs saying things like, North, please, then putting loopholes on, locking the lorry doors and refusing to slow down or leave the motorway until we've made it through the entire back catalogue. Well, thanks, Tango. You're doing the Lord's work and also ensuring that you will be the subject of a documentary series, probably on YouTube, maybe not on Netflix.
I'm just glad Tango's still alive.
Yeah.
Andy Smart, who sadly left this realm this year, may rest in peace. He was a prolific hitchhiker, and he always said that one of the key things to hitchhiking was to use manners on your sign. So let's put the North, put the North, please. So I'm glad that Tango's picking up people who are utilising the same tactic as my dearly missed pal used to use as well.
Oh, that's lovely. And it does prove that manners get you everywhere. As long as everywhere is in a cab with Tango with us talking at you for 40 episodes.
And we know from Tango's comment on mine that Tango's got a bit of a death wish at the moment as well. So any hitchhikers listening, please be careful out there.
And finally, Annette Ruby Tocnado says, I do love the total insanity of this story and wonder how anyone took it seriously. You guys definitely deserve a break, but I do hope you return. I look forward to this every week. Many thanks and much love.
Thanks, Annette.
Well, much love back to you, Annette.
Again, in the interest of being contrary to Annette, we're not actually taking a break.
No.
We're carrying on.
Yeah.
But there will be... Well, we've explained it now, haven't we? Should we crack on with it?
Let's go.
Episode 40. Oh, there they go again.
Sorry.
I mean, this is actually, I think now, potentially sexual harassment.
No, sorry.
Okay, so the Haunted Mansion, that's what we're going to be speaking about today.
Yes, shocker.
Which I am an expert on. Yeah. Now, as I've mentioned so far, this isn't a history of the Haunted Mansion as such. In many ways, it's not really about the attraction. I'll tell you some bits and bobs about that as well.
Yeah.
But that's not really the point of this. There is a point of this, which is I'm going to be speaking about the hauntings of the Haunted Mansion.
Yes. Well, there's also another thing from this, though. Is that in talking about this, it makes your massive, ridiculous collection tax deductible.
So are we going with massive, ridiculous collection are we going with?
Let's say substantial and immersive.
Curated.
Substantial.
Well, it'd be fair to say, as was mentioned in the comments, I am obsessed with the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah. It's unavoidable in your house and its environs.
Yeah, the garden too. The room I'm in right now has Haunted Mansion stuff in here as well, my office. We should explain what it is for people that are uninitiated to it. So as a child, I was very into ghost trains. Still am to this day, actually. Mm-hmm. Ghost trains was a big obsession for me. And the epitome of ghost trains, really, is the Haunted Mansion. I would say conclusively that the Haunted Mansion is the best ghost train in existence on the planet.
I love the Haunted Mansion, but not to the extent that you do.
Do you know what? There's an interesting thing going on with this. So it's at Disney Parks. There are three in existence. So there's three official Haunted Mansions. There's Disneyland, which was the original Haunted Mansion. There's Disney World, and there is Tokyo Disney. They all have a Haunted Mansion. And as was mentioned in the comments, there's Phantom Manor as well at Disneyland Paris. But Phantom Manor isn't a Haunted Mansion, even though it does share many of the same things inside it. It's pretty much the same sort of ride, but it's not a Haunted Mansion. The three that I mentioned before are the actual Haunted Mansions. The Tokyo Disneyland Haunted Mansion and the Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion also share the same exterior. They are the same house outside it. The Disneyland Haunted Mansion, the original, is a very different house. And that's the house that you'll see in the movie that's just come out in the UK. It's been out for a few weeks in the US. That's the same design. Although the Disney Tokyo and Disney World Haunted Mansion, spoiler alert, does make an appearance in the movie. So when we talk about my obsession, and when we talk about my collection, the thing that appears to offend you in some way...
It doesn't.
When we discuss that, I think there is an interesting crossover with you and I. So I think that it may seem incongruous to people that I would be so into something that is based around ghosts, given my utter disregard for ghosts in reality.
Yeah.
Which I've always debated. I've always said, no, I'm allowed to be interested in it. I'm allowed to find it entertaining, but I don't feel the need to believe it's real, which I've applied to many other things that I have in my life that are obsessions. I don't feel the need for them to be real in order to appreciate them. Mm-hmm. But I think a place where you and I cross over, and this is the basis of my collection, if you like, of Haunted Mansion stuff, is that you and I haven't an equal interest in the esoteric, and we disagree fundamentally on many, many things. But where our shared interest, where the Venn diagram of our shared interest intersects, is aesthetic. Yes. And I think I'm all in on aesthetic. I think aesthetic is the be-all and end-all of pretty much most things I like.
Yeah.
I think your appreciation of aesthetic is underplayed somewhat, although people wouldn't think that if they came to your house, your living environment. But I believe, and you can debate this with me, but I believe that a lot of your interest in the esoteric is for the same reason as my interest in the esoteric, which is aesthetic.
Yes. Okay. That's interesting. Well, I'd say certainly my initial interest was driven by visuals, was driven by that paranormal encyclopedia I mentioned, because I had that before I could read, you know, when I was like two on baby books.
Yeah.
And I would look at the shiny photos in the middle of the encyclopedia, and that piqued my interest.
I mean, I think it's a shared truism, to be honest, with many people. Because as we saw in the comments just now, and if you speak to people who are all in on the esoteric, you will invariably get an answer back of, well, I had this book when I was a kid, and this picture used to really get under my skin. And that's all aesthetic, how the vision of something has appealed to you, and you've done further reading, as it were, or as is the case with most people that believe in ghosts, no reading whatsoever after it, apart from things that confirm your misguided belief.
Yes, okay.
So my house, which is loosely the Haunted Mansion in many rooms, it's quite curated, really, isn't it?
Yes,
it's quite,
it is.
You know, having the gargoyles and the candle holders, and I'm pretty picky in terms of the stuff that I tend to like.
Very picky and very disparaging.
I wouldn't buy something that's got Haunted Mansion written on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, long and the short of it is, it's a ghost train. It's a very posh ghost train, but it's a ghost train. So it was an opening day attraction when Disneyland opened, but it wasn't actually open. It was just there. The building was just there. And it took a while for it to get sorted. It actually only opened after Walt Disney had died himself. It was a big project for him. He was really into it as a project. I personally believe, from all my admiration of Walt Disney as a creative artist, I believe that the design of the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland is wrong.
Same. I think a lot of the calls he made were... I get why he made them.
I don't even get that.
With that whole family-friendly thing at heart, but I don't know why he didn't lean fully into. I don't know why they didn't just give Rolly Crump millions of dollars.
Say, well, Rolly Crump was a designer, an artist, imagineer who was involved in designing many of the things that do still appear in the Haunted Mansion, and many things that criminally do not. Yes. Rolly Crump died this year, and a dreadful loss, but a very old man. It wasn't for family friendly reasons that design in Anaheim is as it is. It's a big white building with pillars outside it. It wasn't a family-friendly thing. It was that Walt Disney believed that it should be, I guess that word again, incongruous, that it should be a jarring thing, that the outside should be pristine and it's the inside.
Yeah.
To kind of disarm people, I suppose. I don't agree with that.
You same. Know,
the Haunted Mansion in Tokyo, the Haunted Mansion in Disney World, so same building, Phantom Manor in Paris are very gothic-looking traditional haunted house sort of thing. Far more imposing, far more Rocky Horror, really. You know, they're just a nicer design.
Yeah, it's one of the basic building blocks of traditional, certainly Victorian or Neo-Victorian Gothic, is the crumbling domestic space. Yeah, they're far more within the Gothic tradition than the original Haunted Mansion.
But that could just be personal taste as well. Mm-hmm. So if we're looking at the reasons that I like it, the reasons that I'm really into it as a thing are because I consider it to be the perfect collage of ideas. Now, when the Haunted Mansion was being developed and made, lots of ideas came and went. Rolly Crump, who we've mentioned, was designing a Museum of the Weird, which was going to be a sort of separate but attached attraction of a museum of curiosities and really quite jarring, spooky images and models and things, which Walt Disney was very taken with, was very frightened by himself. There's a story that he was shown those designs. When they were designing the Haunted Mansion, Rolly Crump was sort of kept to one side. This kind of kooky artist, kind of cool guy, was kept to one side because these designs were so upsetting. And then one day, Walt Disney was walking around looking at the designs that had been made from other people. And as he was leaving, he happened to notice this tucked away table with Rolly Crump stuff, went over to it, had a look at them, and then summoned Rolly Crump the next day, who was a junior artist, within that company. And said, "You son of a bitch, I didn't get a wink of sleep last night." This is the story that was told many times. And that he was very taken with that idea. The Museum of the Weird never happened, still hasn't to this day. And it's a crying shame, to be honest. But it's also semi-understandable given that, on this occasion, that it's a family place.
Yes.
And that would have been utterly distressing for many people if they'd just gone through with it how he had done it. But when it was being developed in a general idea, it came down to two designers, which was Mark Davis and Claude Coates. And they were both designing at the same time for the Haunted Mansion, both putting forward ideas. So Mark Davis was a kind of a traditional animator within Disney, kind of a fun person, an incredible artist. And he made it kind of funny, silly, you know, that very family-friendly idea. Whereas Claude Coates wanted it to be a scary ghost train. So he had two clashing ideas coming together at that point. And ultimately, those two ideas, it wasn't a case of voting for which one it was going to be. They were just brought together. So Exotencio, who's a very, very famous Disney Imagineer, who ultimately put the whole thing together, he also wrote the lyrics to the music that's happening in the Haunted Mansion as well, along with Buddy Baker, who did the music. But he put the two ideas together. So the Haunted Mansion, in a nutshell, is funny, scary, aesthetically immaculate, incredible music. You've also got a voiceover that runs throughout by Paul Frees. I mean, all these people are dead now. Rolly Crump dying this year, he was the last man standing. So, you know, they're all away. The main players in this are all away.
Yeah.
And put together, it works incredibly well. You've got an Act One pre-show, so you've got the graveyard that you walk through to get to the Haunted Mansion with, you know, graves with funny epitaphs on them as well, which can be seen, if you're ever in the area, in my garden.
Yeah.
That I've made myself. But all those things coming together make this perfect experience, this perfect attraction. Like, there's nothing in it where you go, that's a bit rubbish there. You know, you've several stages going through it. You go straight into the reception and into a stretching room, what they call the stretching room, which has four portraits on the wall. Very normal portraits that then, as the show starts, they stretch higher and higher to reveal. These were Mark Davis designs as well. So Mark Davis had made them funny, and they are funny. And people get obsessed with the lore of the Haunted Mansion. They get completely consumed by, well, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
For example, one of the stretch room portraits is a, he kind of looks like a military man, really, a bearded man. And when it stretches down, he's got no trousers on. He's in his boxer shorts, stood on top of a dynamite keg that's already been lit. And people have gone, well, why does he have no trousers on? And it's like, because that being revealed is really funny.
Yeah.
That's funnier than if he had trousers on. Same reason that you've another one, a girl with a parasol, and when it stretches, it reveals she's on a tightrope, and there's an alligator beneath with its mouth open. There's one that's a portrait of a man that when it's revealed, it's three men on each other's shoulders and they're sinking in quicksand. And another one of a lady who, when it stretches, it's revealed she's sitting on the grave of her dead husband, and there's a bust of him with an axe in it. So they were just funny, just silly joke ideas, but people are so consumed with the Haunted Mansion, so obsessed with it, that they start speculating on the lore. And there's no real canon to the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's key to what I want to talk to you about today is there is a seance within the Haunted Mansion. It's Madame Leota, so it's a head in a crystal ball.
Yes.
Who is speaking an incantation, obviously on a loop in reality, because mm-hmm. there's doom buggies, the cars that you go around in, they're going around all the time. So that's just played all day. Again, this was another Disney designer who gave her face to it,
mm-hmm.
and she's still there to this day. She's away now, she's not. Her daughter still works at Disney, but she's away. So she's repeating this seance over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And after you've passed that in the Haunted Mansion, that's when the ghosts start appearing. So she's summoned the ghosts.
Yeah.
And that's when the ghosts start appearing. Before that, it's spooky, it's a bit off, a bit unusual, but the only time you see ghosts is after you've passed that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just goes hell for leather. It's very, very impressive. Lots of use of Pepper's ghost, you know, illusionary stuff that's just incredibly well used within the ride. So that's important to remember that, because I'm going to speak to you about reported hauntings within the Haunted Mansion. Now, I'm obviously not believing a word of any of this.
Yes, okay. I will not fall down on either side of the fence until you have presented your case.
But from my explanation already, aesthetically, it is designed very well to be spooky.
Yes.
But it does also have, at any given time, thousands of people going through it all the time. Unless there's fireworks on, I found that out, that's a good tip.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's the end of the day, the yeah. very, very end, where you might get on late and it's not quite as full as it would be. So these are all important things, I believe, to the stories. Now, I looked about, I knew some of these already. I also found a YouTube channel, which was called Walt's Chili Bowl, who had mentioned, they'd done a video all about the reported ghost sightings, but they'd done it in a way that was, this is true.
Right, okay.
Okay. Now, I've not asked permission of Walt's Chili Bowl to use the content of their video because it's widely known content, and why should I ask, you know, this is a discussion. But it was enjoyable. I enjoyed watching it. So most of these hauntings within the Haunted Mansion, don't forget, these are real life hauntings,
yes.
not the hauntings that are portrayed within the actual ride itself, revolve around a boy called Timmy.
Oh, for God's sake. Now, of course. Is it little Timmy? Did he fall down
now,
well?
Timmy,
is there a ghost lassie?
Well, Timmy
yeah.
has appeared many times within the Haunted Mansion
mm.
in different situations. There's a famous, and by famous I mean amongst people that would look at this sort of stuff,
yeah.
image
yes.
of a boy's face looking back from one of the cars that you go around. They're called doom buggies. So one of the doom buggies that you go around in, he's looking back at the camera. And of course that image, the person who took the image says, there wasn't enough light, so you shouldn't have been able to see that. There was nothing on the camera to help that. It's an odd angle that he's looking at, which is true, by the mm-hmm. way. That is true. It is an odd angle. If you know what a doom bug is like inside, he'd have to have been in quite a contorted position to have looked back in the way he was looking back. I will give you that. That's
yeah.
true. I find that image really jarring. And I don't get affected yeah. by things like that. But I find that image of Timmy looking back really jarring.
Yeah.
Now, the thing you need to know, and again, this is an important thing in connection to the seance that I mentioned about Madame Leota, is that a lot of people attempt to spread ashes at Disney parks full stop.
Yes, yeah.
It's completely banned. They have zero tolerance to it. If you're caught doing it, you're banned for life. You're chucked out and banned for life, right? So I understand why people want to do it. I also understand why Disney parks take the stance that they do on it. And the pinnacle of that would be the Haunted Mansion, because there's a graveyard there anyway, and it's a lot of people's favourite ride. So despite the ban, people do still do it. Now, in many ways, it's pointless because it's cleaned rigorously every day. So any ashes that are dropped in there are getting hoovered within a few hours. I've often thought about it myself, even though I have a complete disregard for what happens to me after I die. I also think you could just sneak a little pinch of it somewhere.
Exactly. You don't have to take the whole
graveyard.
Yeah, you don't have to take the whole urn and just dump it onto the tracks. So no. I think if, not that I'm saying that anyone should do this, because obviously they shouldn't, but if I think if you are trying to sneak ashes into the Haunted Mansion on a more permanent basis, you need to mix your loved ones with some kind of adhesive.
Yeah, but this is the thing. So because it is such a desirous thing to so many people to have their ashes dropped at Disney World, or Disneyland, or Disney wherever, they're ultra vigilant on it.
I suppose legally it's tricky. As in, like, having so many human remains.
Yeah, but all the things we think of, you could just do it, like, you could just have it in your pocket. And try. They're looking for it all the time. They're checking all the time. And it's really well cleaned, so they're gone. They're going to be away. But I suppose the moment of doing it might be enough, you know. Who knows? But that's something that goes on. So there are people who believe in all this sort of business who have made a link between the dropping of ashes, the seance that is going on, the raising of spirits that looped incantation supposedly provokes. And I think, by the way, there is a book in front of Leota's crystal ball which does have what would be considered a real incantation within it.
Mm-hmm.
So they essentially believe that this Timmy boy has been brought there as a spirit.
Right, so he didn't die there. He wasn't, like, caught under the wheels of a doom buggy.
No, okay. But he was, from all accounts, a big fan of the Haunted Mansion. Now, I've not been able to find anywhere who Timmy actually is. Yeah,
who named Timmy?
Yeah, well, not just who named him, but who was the original boy. You'd presume there would be some record of this human being in civilised society, but it would appear that no such records exist. So we can presume from that that if Timmy is derivative of an actual person, his family aren't agreeing to this.
No. But also,
by making it public.
You know, seance aside, if we're just talking about the, let's say, the unlawful scattering of cremains, then surely wouldn't there be reported instances of hauntings from years ago from the Pirates of the Caribbean ride that supposedly had medical skeletons on display as dead pirates?
Yeah, no, there is a ghost in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, is there?
Apparently called, I think it's George, either George or Jeff. I hope it's not Jeff, we can't have two minutes of Jeffs.
Yeah.
But I think it's George, who was a construction worker who worked on the Pirates of the Caribbean and was killed during the construction of it. I think in the Disney World Haunted Mansion this is. Because the Disney World Haunted Mansion wasn't an opening day attraction, but it had been very popular at Disneyland, which opened first.
Yes.
So they rushed it to get it finished. This is the story. They rushed it to get it finished. Ergo, a construction worker called George was killed. And from all accounts, people who work on that ride, cast members they call them, who work in Disney parks, have a thing of saying morning George when they arrive at the Pirates of the Caribbean. Right. Because if you don't do that, quote, you feel a bit odd for the rest of the day.
Loads of places have that. There are loads of theatres.
Yeah.
Like some ones that I went to, they all the staff there have to say, you know, good morning, Jeff. And then, if you don't acknowledge it or say good night, Jeff, then you will be cursed forevermore by the usher from hell.
Oh, yeah, nothing tangible happens.
Yeah.
So it's not that we didn't say good morning, George, on that day and five of the boats sank, killing everyone. Nothing like that.
Right.
You just feel, it just feels a bit weird.
Feels a bit weird.
That's what's reported. So, there are a couple of specific stories from the Haunted Mansion. There's one where some people, a cast member and a pal of theirs, wanted to ride, be the last riders on the Haunted Mansion before it ended, okay, before it finished, mm-hmm. for the night, as in, before it closed. So they waited till the park was quieter. Back of the queue, they got on there last. They were the last people on it. And going around the ride, as they went around it, to their left, in front of them, was the riders who were the penultimate riders on the ride. And to the right of them, the Doom Buggy and the Doom Buggies that continued, it's a long cycle of Doom Buggies, was empty, obviously, because they were the last in the ride. And when they went around the Seance Circle, it's a circle going around Madame Leota, when they went around that circle, they looked to the left and saw the penultimate riders, and they looked to the right, and there was a little boy sat there. Ooh. Timmy was just sat there in the ride. They swore this was true. They said this was absolutely true. And they knew they were the last riders. So who was the little boy?
Ghost.
The loophole.
Oh.
Well, the loophole within that story is...
Yeah.
That... Why did they want to be the last... So here's how you break it down. Why did they want to be the last riders? Why?
It's a good claim.
And the reason why is because if they weren't, the story wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
They had to concoct a story for why the Doom Buggy beside them was definitely empty. It was definitely empty because they had made a point of being the last riders.
Right.
So that validates that. Mm-hmm. As an idea. Because in reality, it isn't a thing to be last on the ride. But they made it a thing. So there was a reason.
Some people could, though.
It was unusual.
Plenty of people would say, you know, oh, we were the last on for the day. They put the barrier down behind us.
Yeah, could do. But on this occasion, they didn't. It was for the story.
Oh.
And again, that ties into the idea that I was saying earlier on about it's normally very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very rare you'll have anything empty either side of you at all. It's normally very busy. So the Haunted Mansion, tying it into that and tying it into the aforementioned aesthetic,
yeah.
which is very, very effective.
Yes.
Even when it's packed, it's effective. But if it's empty...
Mega effective.
Like, I went in there one time when there were fireworks on outside. And when I went in there that time, where it was kind of empty, it was a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was then... really quite creepy. The aesthetic mm-hmm. worked. Absolutely worked. So that comes into it as well. You have to imagine it that there's not many people there, that the rest of the Doom Buggies are empty. I mean, that's a spooky image anyway, the idea of this train of cars and they're all empty.
Mm. Well, that is the ghost train, isn't it? The empty train.
Yes, completely. Yeah, completely. Which leads us very handily to the next story, which is that a new cast member... at Disney, I don't know if it's Disneyland or Disney World, this one, but it was at one of the Disney parks in the Haunted Mansion. A new cast member had been told after the ride closed, they were asked to go and find a blown bulb. So apparently there was a blown bulb in there mm-hmm. that needed to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
So the cast member went through the ride, which all the attractions within it had all been turned off at this point. It was the end of the day. They went through the ride. They went into the ballroom, which mm-hmm. is... a mixture of a ballroom and a dining room sort of thing. It's a flagship part of the ride. It's
yes.
a very famous image of the dancing ghosts and people having a meal at the table and things, and the two guys having a duel with pistols as well in
yeah.
the photos, and the man on the organ who's playing the organ with all the skulls coming out the top of it, all using Pepper's ghost very effectively. So went down into that room. All the attraction part of it was turned off, so the ghosts weren't on.
Yeah.
It was just dark... end of the day, empty. They went down with a flashlight or torch, as it's more commonly known in the UK.
Yeah, so it's all immersive. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, to look for this blown bulb.
Yeah.
What they saw was...
Timmy.
Somebody in a red hoodie
oh.
facing the corner. So back to them.
So...
facing the corner, right?
Yeah.
Didn't respond. And the cast member fled, very shook up. And regaled this story afterwards. Now, what we have there...
Timmy has seen the Blair Witch Project. That's what's
and
gone on.
And Don't Look Now.
Yeah.
And Don't Look Now as well.
Yeah.
So you've got... Remember I said earlier on about how people take from different legends
yeah.
and different
yeah.
fairy stories and put them together. So you've got the Blair Witch thing of
yeah.
it being in the corner.
Yeah.
You've got the looking at the wall and the red jacket of Don't Look Now.
Yeah.
and you've got a new cast member, somebody who doesn't really know it properly, is out of their depth completely, so you immediately have an empathy for that, and you think about how you would feel in that situation, in this quote-unquote haunted house that was all in the dark. The loopholes, of which there are many.
I can see none. I don't know what to this story. About.
The loopholes is, why would a cast member be in charge of checking for a blown light bulb? First of all, they have people there, maintenance people, who yeah. do that.
Hazing?
As far as I'm aware.
First day on the job? Oh, you've got to go and get some tartan paint? Yeah.
Potentially. But the main loophole that I felt in that story is, what is the logic of looking for a blown light bulb when they're all turned off with a torch? Why are you looking with a torch? Well, the way to find a blown light bulb is to turn them all off. Yeah. Well, see which one isn't lit.
I refer you back to point one of hazing. Yeah. We've turned all the lights off. Go and find the blown bulb. How will I know that? Well, I don't know. You've been hired. You should know. Yeah, and by the way, yeah. Timmy's just been to CNA, so you might see him in his new hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, other cast members are going, getting dressed in a red hoodie and going, putting themselves in a position. Well, that may be what happened. What I do know didn't happen is there wasn't a ghost. Because they were all turned off, remember? And so this argument of the raising the dead idea, the whole seance idea, I can see the logic of it. I can see the idea of scattered ashes along with the ongoing seance room incantation.
Yes,
I understand the logic. I can't find a loophole in that other than blatant common sense. But I do... I understand the logistics of that.
Yes.
But the stories I've mentioned within this are riddled with loopholes. And it's an interesting idea that something that portrays itself as a fictional haunted house, that then goes on to inspire real haunted stories for something that's constructed. It's not even a real house. It has no real history other than being a fairground ride, ultimately.
Yes.
It's what it's always been.
Within
it's never
that.
Been a house.
No. But within that, like you say, with the constant calling out on a loop,
yeah.
Could this be an example of a place becoming haunted, becoming a magnet of sorts for spirits via a kind of cyclical incantation, becoming, you know, showing the kind of stone tape theory effect in full in that...
Because as far as I'm aware, nobody has ever died in the Haunted Mansion. I mean, somebody might have died, might have had a heart attack or whatever, maybe.
Someone doesn't have to die somewhere to haunt there. They can be summoned there. And so if you saw Leota's seance room incantations and calling out as being kind of the more cyclical they are, the more regular they are, the more embedded they get within the very walls, the very fabric of the place, then could that in itself become a magnet through which all these spirits from the environs, people who've been brought there in the form of ashes, are then funneled towards because it's the place that's calling out to them?
What are you on about?
I'm just trying to make it relevant, mate, all right?
It can't be, can it?
Because,
well,
why not?
Well, because the bottom line is that Madame Leota is not a real medium.
No, but the practice of calling out to spirits...
I've told you already.
...is a real practice.
It was a lady called Leota Toombs who was working for Disney already, who agreed to have her face in this crystal ball projected.
Yeah.
It's not even live. So can we summon spirits... with a recording of an incantation?
Well, in theory, I'm sure there have been plenty of experiments done within that, that if you just keep the environment primed, if you keep the energy primed with intentional words, then in theory, you could inadvertently create what could be the world's longest running seance.
I'm so glad we're having a break. I am so glad.
Come on. You know, and what do little kids like? They love big, exciting events. And so little Timmy would want to come to the world's longest running seance via CNA, so he's all decked out for the winter season. Thank you, Honour. I rest my case.
Is one way of looking at it. Have you ever watched the videos that are on YouTube and stuff of the hauntings at Disney parks?
I've seen that photo of little Timmy.
I watched one recently that was a countdown of the hauntings caught on film at Disney parks.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made like 5 or 6 years ago it was. So there was Haunted Mansion related. There was one that they say is the ghost of Walt Disney, which is the walkway down from the Disneyland Mansion. It was night time, no one else there at all, so the park is closed. And it's quite a weird thing, actually. You sort of think it might be pareidolia, but there is a definite walking movement that's going on. This spirit that's walking, very unclear, with a beam up from it that rises right to the top of the actual shot that you're watching.
Yeah.
And it's caught on multiple cameras as well, multiple security cameras.
Yeah.
It's not just one, it's multiple. So that eliminates the idea of refraction.
Yes.
Because it's like, well, it wouldn't be caught on all the cameras if it was refracting in one camera.
Yeah.
It's a really eerie bit of footage if you go and watch it. Another one that they showed was on, I think it was Space Mountain, where there was a single rider, and you see the same sort of thing again. This sort of vague body getting into the seat next to them and going with the ride as well.
Mm.
And what were the other ones? There was another one where Disney villains in characters, you know, people performing as characters, are having a photo taken, and it scans over this little rockery thing, and you can see a gentleman just sat, the ghost of a gentleman just sat there. Again, you can argue it's pareidolia, but it is inarguably there. And all these things have taken on huge legendary status and added to this complete myth that there are ghosts at the park. Because they were all done by the same bloke. All of them were done by a viral marketer.
Oh, for God's sake.
He'd done them.
Oh.
It was a guy called Chris Cantwell, right? They're brilliant. But he'd done a viral video when Toy Story 3 came out of called? That bear. He'd made a vintage advert for that toy that was put onto YouTube. And said it was real, that, you know, he was working with them, he was doing it on purpose, but they said it was a real vintage advert for this toy, so that toy did exist back in the day, even though it was a new creation just for that film. And he'd done all of them, so it was essentially viral marketing. It was giving off the idea that the parks were haunted, because when you say that parks are haunted, more people come to the parks, like Disney need more people coming through the door.
I love and hate that so much.
But it stands to reason, doesn't it, that a ghost train, ultimately, has its own ghost. Blackpool Pleasure Beach do exactly the same thing. They've got their own ghost in Cloggy, a story that makes absolutely no sense.
Absolutely no sense.
About a person that no one can find any record of anywhere. But he apparently works in the ghost train.
Yeah, but he did wear clogs.
Yeah, he works in the ghost train and wore clogs, apparently.
Yeah.
And the other interesting part of this, in conclusion, is that the ghost Timmy... Remember I told you that there's the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland, Disney World, Tokyo Disney?
Yeah.
Timmy haunts Disney World and Disneyland.
Oh!
There's been no mention of Tokyo, so Tokyo don't claim it, but Disneyland in Anaheim and Disney World in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah.
Timmy's in both of them.
Well...
Simultaneously, this is... marketing / bored cast members making up stories.
No.
For a bit of attention, which they're welcome to. Good on them.
Someone somewhere in some archive looking at ESP will be able to justify that immediately.
Nonsense. I tell you what, if anyone should be haunting the Haunted Mansion, it should be people like Exotensio, Claude Coates, Rolly Crump, Mark Davis. They should be the people haunting it, but they can't haunt it, because if they were haunting it, they would look back at the cast members and go, we worked on this for ages. Did we not put enough ghosts in it? You had to make up your own one as well. There's 999. 999 happy haunts, and now there's four more, plus more people besides who worked on it, staring back at you, and they're not happy haunts. They're not happy. They're really annoyed with you. There's a reason we had these jobs, and a reason why you are just in charge of helping people into cars.
That was Loopholes, the grand finale of Series 1, or Season 1, if you're still in America. If you'd like to get in touch...
It's both for Timmy. Timmy can have both, because Timmy's all over America and probably in the UK as well. Probably haunting Blackpool Pleasure Beach as well.
Yeah.
And Alton Towers is one as well.
Yeah, in his hoodie and his clogs.
Regularly seen at the London Dungeon.
If you do want lots more Loopholes content before we go back public to all the lovely plebs, then you can do so at either of our Patreons, where you'll find us discussing Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World and all the quality content therein, at patreon.com/IanBaldsworth and patreon.com/burialsandbeyond. And you can find us, like us, leave us messages, and generally prepare yourself for the next series and all the other great content on Facebook at facebook.com/loopholespodcast, on Instagram at loopholespod, on Twitter at loopholespod, and you can send us an excitable email at loopholespodcast@gmail.com. And you can do all of that whether or not you have seen Timmy in action.
As I said earlier on, to be on both our patrons would be £2 a month. That's what it would be. With both of our patrons set at the lowest possible amount you can get in, and we both work exceptionally hard with lots of varied content, varied between our patrons as well. I do very different stuff to what Kate does, and Kate does very different stuff to what I do, and we have the coming together with the Loopholes stuff as well. So worth a look. Just have a look 1 month. But like I say, not a hard sell. The episodes will still be available in the future for you, in the public. But for the time being, it's all going over to Patreon for a period of time where we essentially reset. This doesn't apply to the people who are listening who are on Patreon already. Thank you already for your support. You've been amazing. You've been amazing with your comments for this series. Exclusively Patreon comments this series, because we were always ahead of the game. So thank you so much to each and every one of you who've left a comment. It's been exhilarating.
It's been powerful. It's been potent. You know, and it's been a little bit sexy.
We felt the support, is what I'm saying. That's rare moment of sincerity. We have felt the support.
Yeah,
you've carried us through 40 episodes of this series. And I agree with Kate, it has been sexy from time to time. But normally only I've been able to see that. That's when she's been jiggling them about on Zoom. Patreon people, we'll see you next week. Other people, we'll see you when we see you. But thank you very much for joining us. I've been Ian Bolesworth.
And I've been Kate Cheryl.
Goodbye. Don't do that noise when you're jiggling them.
I'm sorry. They are haunting, though.
Loopholes is an Infinite Hermit production in association with Burials and Beyond, with Kate Cheryl and Ian Boldsworth. Music by Thomas Funderay, produced by Ian Boldsworth.